Now, this morning, if you get a hold of what I'm saying, it'll change your life, because I haven't gotten a hold of this myself for very long, but it has really developed and grown in me to the point it's almost scary. But how many of you know that the further you go with God, the more your flesh is going to suffer? Now, you can have a doctrine that the more you grow with God, the better off you are. But that's okay as far as what you are as a spiritual being before God. But for a natural, carnal believer, that's hard on the flesh. Because we want to give our flesh that place that it deserves. Well, the place that it really deserves is a graveyard. But a lot of us don't like to go there because of the doctrines that we hear today really complement the fact of dressing your outer man quite well. I've even heard people even predict messages that I knew was not of God, totally contrary to the Word of God, how Jesus fared sumptuously and how he walked on earth. And he definitely was not an example to the impoverished people, but to the wealthy. And that bothered me, because Jesus came not to promote wealth. He came to promote the kingdom of God. And the outcome of his life was to take your place for your transgressions so that you can walk free in the Lord. Praise God. And now, those of you that were not here for Keith Hersey's message, you missed a good message. Praise God. Because he declared the love of God through the purpose of his kingdom. This morning, we're going to get back into the confession of our mouths. The confession of our mouths. And I'm going to show you something that might help you understand a little bit more of how to take control of what you say. And like I said, I hadn't seen this until just recently as I was seeking the Lord and he was putting scripture together. I didn't understand why, but finally it just exploded. It came together. Again, I want to say it's quite a few years ago when I first started listening to Kenneth Hagin's ministry. I began to hear some things that the first thing that it did was it attacked a religious spirit that tried to seize me. And one of them was write your own ticket with God. And Kenneth Hagin would teach a lot about how you can have what you say with your mouth. And so religious spirits had gotten a hold of that and began to pervert it and say that Kenneth Hagin was saying things that I never heard him really say. And they were saying things like, he's saying that whatever you say you can have, and I'm a millionaire, and they'd laugh about it and everything. And so they would actually bring a discredit to the purpose of what Kenneth Hagin was trying to bring across. And that is, your mouth plays an important part or an important role in your life, whether we realize it or not. We always talk about the issue of our hearts, but our mouth has to be connected as a result of the issues that are in our heart. And we brought it out last Sunday that Jesus has even said that. He said, for out of the abundance of the heart, a man's mouth speaks. How many of you realize that in Scripture, the word confession, you know what that word means in the Greek? The word confession. It literally means manner of life. So what the Bible does is it connects a man's speech with the manner of life that he partakes of. And a lot of us don't realize that. But back in the time of Jesus when the church started, God broke in on this plane through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to amplify or to exegesis is what people say, to move out in open display the Father through Jesus. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then Jesus not only was an example of his manner of life, he spoke his manner of life. Jesus spoke it. And a lot of people had a hard time with what he was saying, even to the point that they challenged him on certain things by what he was saying with his mouth. But Jesus was always ready to perform what he said. Every time. I'll never forget when they tried to get him to admit someone was dead. And finally he said, all right, he's dead, but really he sleepeth. Because you see, in God, there is no death. In our life, there is death. But in God's life, there is no such thing as death. People fall asleep. But they are eternal beings. Mankind is an eternal being. You cannot get away from that. And so, recently, not too long ago, in the near future, God began to deal with me about my tongue. And it's quite severely. There's a time when God will begin to move into your life about what you say. Because what you say really reflects what you do. Now, remember in Mark 11, 22 and 23, Jesus gave a prime example that when you ask God for something, then you, when you ask Him, you are to believe what you're saying you're going to receive. He says, for if a man believes what he says, he will receive it. For what a man says, that he will receive. Now, I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, you know, I'm really thinking about that. You will actually have what you say. I want to look at that from the negative side a little bit. What happens if I say something negatively? Will I have that? And the Lord said, basically, yes. Because your words is likened unto a sword. Any man's word is like a sword. Matter of fact, you really find that in the Old Testament. If you will, real quick, like, go to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. Dear Heavenly Father, as we get into this word, may your people get it and understand it. And may they take the responsibility of it. Because, Father, we want to know your word. We want to know it in truth. And we want to act on it so that we can accomplish what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. In Proverbs chapter 12, let's go to verse 18. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword. But the tongue of the wise promotes health. I thought this was a very good scripture to go to because there's two things that are said here. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Actually, amplifies salvation. It brings deliverance and prosperity. But did you know that the person's tongue can also be like a piercing sword? And what the writer was referring to as the feel of a sword as it goes in to kill you. And many of us have had that experience of words that have acted like a piercing sword and pierced our life. Every one of us have been a product of it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You are never, and this is going to catch some of you off guard, but you are never, ever destroyed by what somebody else says. You are always destroyed by what you say to yourself after you hear what's said outside of yourself. That's something to think about. Because when a man's words are ordered by the Word of God, they are likened unto a sword. As a believer, you and I, we have the Word of God. Our faith is established on the completed work of Christ. Did you know that the word faith, New Testament, is not an Old Testament word? Look it up in your Strong's Concordance. You ain't going to find the word faith in the Old Testament. It's a New Testament word because the word faith is based upon the principles of a completed work that Christ had done for us so that the confession of our mouth would be what we believe in our heart and say with our mouth and get what we desire of Him. Whether it's for ourselves personally or whether it's for Him. Because we speak of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. God's kingdom is solid. The problem is He has to use jelly to operate on a solid foundation. And we're the jelly. We have a chance to wiggle, be uncertain within ourselves. But in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, it says, out of his mouth will come a two-edged sword, and it will devour his enemies. Woo! Out of his mouth comes a two-edged sword. I like Revelation chapter 2, verse 16. He will fight against them with the sword. I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Woo! His words will do damage at the second advent when he returns. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. One of the weapons of the armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, so if our mouth is a sword, and then the Word of God is in that mouth of ours, then how mighty is that sword? Because we're emanating the Word of God. Amen? Well, there's a few amens. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we understand very clearly, especially when you go, and I'm just mentioning one or two scriptures, but the Bible is full of scripture that refers to the tongue in scripture as a sword. As a sword. It talks about the negativeness as well as the positive side to it. Yeah, a man can learn how to use the tongue in a manner he can devour and cut up and cripple and destroy people. The Bible talks about these kind of people. Then it talks about how the mouth of the righteous speak health, speak deliverance, speak prosperity, speak blessings. Now, James chapter 3, we always look at that chapter and we don't realize what is really being said in James. So let's turn to James chapter 3 real quick like. Now, you're going to hear something you probably never heard before because I haven't really capitalized on it too much, because of the heaviness of the responsibility of it, but I felt led of the Lord to bring it out today. And I'm just going to strap you with a whole lot of responsibility. And this is what carnal believers want to avoid. But thank God we're not carnal. Amen. In James chapter 3, it really is a continuation of what was said off of the first chapter, when you fall into diverse tests and trials of life. And he says, the first thing that your faith should ask for is for wisdom. Is for wisdom. Can I hear an amen? That is the first line of defense for your faith. And if you're going to express it with your mouth, then I've got news for you. You have to understand the principles of the tongue when it is speaking. And in James chapter 3, he clearly defines it. First of all, he said in verse 2 of James 3, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. In other words, he's mature. Enable also to bridle the whole body. Now notice this, also able to bridle the whole body. Now, if we put bits in a horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body, look also at ships, though they are so large, are driven by a fierce wind, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. It starts out real small, but the ability that the tongue can create a forest fire that gets out of control and it's hard to put out. And so he's explaining something about the power of words, the power of a tongue. Now, I got news for you. There is nothing in this natural realm that the wisdom of God cannot give an answer to. And he's saying the way that you give an answer to anything in your life is that you have to learn how to use the power of the tongue. Because if you learn how to bridle your mouth with the Word of God by your tongue, you will lead your whole life in the right direction concerning the wisdom of God. Glory to God. But when I started seeing this, and the revelation we're going to go into in just a moment, it'll startle you at what God was trying to show me. I hadn't seen it before, but when He showed me, it just hit me with a tremendous impact. Tremendous impact. Now, He says here also, no man can tame a tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. For out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring can yield both salt water and fresh water. But notice, but who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show out of good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of the wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil work will be there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And boy, how much of that is in every one of us when we have a way of speaking with two different tongues. And yet we have to catch it within ourselves. Now, when you give your carnal mind authority over your thinking, it always affects what you say. Then you give Satan's ability to hinder and have dominion over you because you permit him to do so. The carnal mind can know about spiritual issues, but it's never submitted to its authority. Especially to change its thinking. It does not possess God's nature, and it is impossible to get the carnal mind to be subject to the kingdom of God. You and I are responsible for that. Well, how, Pastor, how do I get control of what I say? Well, the first area is to understand how to get control of your mind. Because it is your mind that will carry what is said in your tongue every time. For out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, with that thought in mind, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Boy, nothing has challenged me more when I seen this than ever before. Because I always figured I had good validity for why I formed an opinion of people. I found that that's not my business. That's God's. My business is to speak health into that person's life, not come to a conclusion of where they are in the natural. And boy, I'll tell you, where some people are in the natural, I'm going to tell you, people, it would behoove us to judge them because of some of the things they do. But you know what? You can't bring anyone to judgment that continues on a behavior pattern that's not submitted to God. And if your thinking goes to validate why you can stand to oppose them, then you're in the same place they are, except your sin is a little different. I find that when you come into the fullness of the understanding of the kingdom of God, you have got to be careful what you say, because if you're not careful about what you say, you're not going to be careful about what you think. Oh, ouch. Say ouch. I'm getting you to pronounce that. So we find clearly from Scripture that our tongue refers to a weapon, a sword. Even with Christ, He said when He comes back at the second advent, that's how He's going to destroy everything that opposes the kingdom of heaven. By the words of His mouth. Must have a lot of power in there. Now, as I was looking at James here, chapter 3, it reminded me of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. And let's take a look at this. This is very interesting. Boy, you know what? When I begin to see this, immediately a sword began to separate in my thinking. And I didn't like it. I hated it within myself. Because God's Word has a way. If you face the Word of God as it really is, and you try to reason out what really is not pointing to you. I'll tell you what, when you come to a church service, and you can sit there and say, boy, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this. You're the first one in ignorance. Because God will never use the Word just to simply dissect you out from the crowd and speak directly to you. In a form of partiality and hypocrisy, he'll nail every one of us every time. We're all in this together when it comes to the Word of God. You're no special thing to God. You're just super loved of God. You're His heart. You're His life in existence. No, He ain't going to single you out. He's going to single us all out. Every one of us. Because none of us are perfect. And so the first thing Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Oh my gosh, there, that nailed every one of us. The first thing we do when it comes to a war is the warfare is not out here in this natural plane as we all seem to think, but the warfare really is within us. God did not call any of us to judge each other. Boy, that's why 1 John finally hit me so strong. I got the revelation of that book and it almost knocked me backwards. Because it indicted me so much. But right away he says, your warfare is not according to what? What is in the natural, the flesh. But notice this, for the weapons. And we just established the fact that your mouth, your tongue, is like a sword. And matter of fact, it says, for the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we find here, the weapon has to be the Word of God. For the weapon of the warfare of us are not carnal, not a planning through the flesh, but mighty in God for the pulling down of a stronghold. Now the word stronghold literally is referring to a reasoning. It means a strong point of argument in which one trusts or relies upon. A strong point of argument in which one trusts or relies upon. This is called a reasoning. Now, how do we identify this reasoning? Because it goes on to say, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now notice what he says, and every high thing. The word high thing here means what we have proudly built within ourselves to defend ourselves with, called our fortress. Now let me ask you something about this passage. Can this passage have anything to do with anything outside of ourselves? Is it referring to our warfare against another opponent? Or is it speaking about something that's going on in us? Absolutely. He's not speaking of what happened out here. He's speaking of what happens in here. He says that's not where our warfare... Our warfare starts in us. That's where the warfare really starts. Before you even deal with anything out here, you got to learn how to deal with something in here. You want me to say that again? Before we can deal with anything out here, before our tongue can do any good out here, first of all, it has to do something in here. What's going to happen inside of us? And he says right here, for the weapons of the warfare of us are not carnal, but mighty through God that they're pulling down. That means tearing down, ripping down the reasonings, casting down the arguments and the high things that have been proudly built to protect ourselves. Oh, we're so proud within ourselves because, well, they wouldn't be there if they weren't part of you. They wouldn't be there if they weren't part of you. They wouldn't be there if they weren't part of you. Every one of you has a reason built within you. Because I'm full of it myself. And I don't mean dung. I find more and more, the more I get the revelation of God, where the more I begin to realize I have a whole lot of reasoning in me that don't belong in me. And only the Word of God can separate it. And so He says, every high thing rising up against the knowledge of God. And He goes on to say what to do about it. He says, here's what, bring every thought. It's the same word. Reasonings, designs, into captivity. Notice to the obedience of Christ. What would you bring somebody and capture it and make it obey you with but a sword, which is in your mouth? A lot of people don't understand confession as being an expression of what's in your heart. Boy, if you just get a revelation of that, boy, that would order up what you say very carefully, especially about somebody else outside of yourself. You better be careful, because you're going to have to give an account to that. And the damage it will do to people. Boy, I don't want to be a part of that. Rising up against and taking captive every design to the obedience of Christ. This is something that happens within all of us. So if we are to take a weapon and we have something that begins to become with its reasoning speaking against the knowledge of God, you know what we're to do? We're to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and use it with that thought. That thought of reasoning, even though it's against you for what you see in the natural. Does this make any sense to you? Now, if you want to write this stuff down, you can. But go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Now, this is a part of the message you probably wish that I would do away with. Because when I began to see this, I say, God, why are you always picking on me? And God says, I'm the only one that's going to be picking on you. Look at verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are mature. That is, those who, by reason of use, practice, have their faculties, the mind of the senses, the physical being, trained to discern both of good and of evil. Has the articles there. Wow. You mean to tell me he has his sensual being so trained that he is able to distinguish, dissect what is not good in him versus what is good? Wow! He has control of his thinking. He's mature. He's the one that can give solid food, solid meat to somebody because they're able to comprehend it. Why? Because their mind is in control by the Word of God. How many times you've gone with places being around believers and Christians and said, and I heard a message one time preached and I got so excited and I was jumping up and down and I said, did you hear what they say? And the person next to me said, well, what are you hearing? What are you hearing? I'll never forget Dave Roberson when he came to my house to recoup. He was gone constantly. He got ill. I said, come on up to my house and just listen to these new tapes I got by a guy named Kenneth Copeland. And come and listen to these tapes. You're going to like them. And so he came up to my house, stayed there a week, and he was listening to these Kenneth Copeland tapes. I made him stay in our back bedroom and to recoup. And he was listening to these tapes. And every once in a while in our house, we would hear, glory to God, did you hear what he said? And I'm sitting there, wow, what in the world's going on? And so I'd be quiet for a while, and I was like, glory to God, did you hear that? And I'm sitting there, no, I heard those tapes. Now, what is he seeing I hadn't seen? And so Dave, you know, the last day he leaves, he hands me the tapes. He says, when you get back to Oregon, I want a copy of all these tapes. And I said, well, did you like him? He said, did I like him? He said, Butler, did you hear what he said? Well, yeah. Yeah. He said, this stuff is great. Especially this tape. And he hands me the tape and I took note of it. And I went, oh. He says, that one will just, didn't it do a number on you? Yeah. Full of hypocrisy. Didn't know what he was talking about. So he leaves. And of course, me being of a curious mind, I had to go and sit and listen to them tapes again. And I'm sitting there listening and I'm looking for me to scream. I'm looking for me to shout. I ain't getting nothing. So finally, I must have went through them tapes four times, and I'll never forget it. I don't remember what day it was, but it was in the evening, and I was sitting on my couch in my living room, and I was listening to these tapes again, and I got to this third cassette tape. He said, that one will change. And the revelation that came off that tape hit me, and I went, oh my God! And I jumped up, and then all the others where I should have been shouting came together. I finally heard it. I was able to distinguish between what was good and what was evil. And I was shouting and jumping up and down, and Sue come out and said, what is going on out here? I says, I'm with the devil! She said, oh, all right, that's a good one. I mean, it levied me to understand what he was saying out of his mouth. And from that day on, I never took lightly revelation or insight. Because when you understand the Word of God, it brings a place for you to where you can get a hold of your thinking and begin to understand what is evil from what is good. And I find that sometimes evil is always cloaked in what you think is good, but it's only a portion of deception. Now, having to say all that, this is what I want you to write down. And when I caught this, especially off of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, this reasoning that's in every one of us, and I want you guys to do a confession today. I want you to confess with me. Pastor Jan, I have within me reasonings that speak against the knowledge of God. So that was your first step of humility. You all didn't know what you just did. You done did a confession. Now you got something for God to work at. Instead of pointing your finger at everybody else what they're doing wrong, now you can point back to you and say, let's deal with your reasonings. All right. Number one. I'm going to show you the process of our first voice. Are you ready? You know, when we think of voices, we think, first of all, the voice comes from without here. That's the first line that we think voices come from, every one of us. How do I know that? Because until I saw this, that's how I saw it. I gotta guard myself for what's being said from out here. Oh, I'm in this little defensive mode. So that when I go to quarterback, no one can touch me. So our process always is always thought from coming from out here. So point number one, how you receive something is by what you see. The natural eye, through the senses, is what you see. Number two, the second thing that you hear is what you hear. The second thing, hearing. The third thing is you make a decision. And the fourth thing is you take action. So it's a little simple process I just gave you. We see, we hear, we decide, we take action. With that thought in mind, go to Matthew 6. This is going to be good, people. This will really help you. When I saw it, wow. I didn't have any idea what Jesus was saying. How many of you know that Jesus is the wisdom of God? He's greater than Solomon. When Jesus says something, we need to pay attention to it. And here's what he says in Matthew chapter 6. Go to verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Interesting. It means that your whole body will walk where there is no darkness. You will be able to see. Now notice this. But if your eye is bad, and this is a Greek word, haplos, which means unhealthy, negative, critical, judgmental. I don't know anybody like that. I mean, religious, you know. Your whole body will be full of darkness. You know what that means? Like 1 John says, if you're in darkness, you'll stumble over your brother. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Whew! Did Jesus say a mouthful? Did he say a mouthful? Well, full of what? Well, with that thought in mind, go over to Hebrews chapter 3. When I saw this, I was so stunned. We have this process. See, hear, decide, take action. The first voice we always think we hear is up from here. Negatory. How many can agree that's true? You guys are listening to my voice right now. Amen? But that's not the voice that will get you. That is not the voice that will get you. It's the voice that is allowed to go off in you what you hear. Not what you hear out here. Case in point, what about the parable? The two men, Jesus went and asked them to do something for him. One says, I'll do it. I'll take care of it, man. Don't you worry, Jesus. I'll do it, brother. It was a parable. And he never did it. He goes, the second man says, I want you to do the same thing. And he goes, I ain't going to do that. No way I'm not going to do that. And he goes and does it. I often wondered about that parable. What in the world? How can the guy sit there and be negatory and even let it come out of his mouth? And then he goes and does it. And God said, he heard and listened to the second voice which is in him. Glory to God. The Shunammite woman. What can we do for you? Says a servant to the lady, the Shunammite. What can we do for you? For the prophet has said, every time we come by here, you always take good care of it. You always feed us. You even have a chamber for us. What can you do? And she said, well, I got everything. Well, we've noticed you don't have any children. Oh, yeah. Well, the prophet says you'll have a son this time next year. She says, really? Yep. You know what she said, Dan? Don't you lie to me. Don't you lie. Don't you be lying to me. No, it'll be so. Guess what? They had a kid. But the problem was, God gave them a son for the goodness that they displayed. And the devil come in and said, God had to take your son because of some of the stupid things you do. There's this inward ticker tape that gets going. Did she say that? Did she think that? No. Her mind was fully persuaded that she was going to have a son, had it, and partook of it, even to the point he was growing up and laboring in their fields. Well, solid in it. But Satan wants you to get into a place of vulnerability in your life. He wants you to get laxical and complacent. He wants to get you into a vulnerable position so that that second voice that goes off in you, he can penetrate it and take you. And if you're not sharp enough to be at the dinner table when the dinner bell rings, eventually you'll croak because you're not eating. Because I'm going to tell you something. Our true enemy is not Satan. Our true enemy is ourself. And if we learn how to take control of our body with the power of our tongue, then we have a weapon that can deal against the second voice that goes off in us, not what we hear out here. And right away, the Shunammite woman said, "Get me a donkey." I just got a thought on that. And I will mount up on this donkey and go to the man of God. You know what she did? She mounted up on that carnal mind. So, she makes the proclamation, everything's okay. Everything's fine. Don't worry about a thing. So she goes to the man of God. And he says, God hadn't revealed me. She got any problem. And she said, woman, what's wrong? It is well. And she gets up to him and falls on her knees. And her soul was vexed within her. And then he knew. And he found out that her son had died. But she went back to the man of God that said what he was going to say. And the man of God was obligated then to see that his word would stay intact. And he went back to her house and raised her son from the dead. But she was fully persuaded. I'm going to tell you, that second voice on the inside of you, you need not resurrect that man that has been declared dead at the cross. You need to take control of that second voice that goes off in the inside of you. And you need to corral every bit of its thoughts until you gather yourself about yourself before you say and do anything about anyone or anything. I'm going to tell you, if you do not have what you see in control of your inner being, that's why Scripture comes into play about doubtful things, meaning abstain from the appearance of evil. Because everyone goes more by what they see than what's off on the inside of you. Come on now, everybody, say hello. Gospel. Listen, people, you don't have a problem with the first voice. It'll come at you from any direction. But the voice that is on the inside of you, that second voice, is what you got to be mindful of. Because it will cause a decision within you, and you will take action according in, and you better make sure the fruit of that is godly fruit. Cool, huh? It always comes back to us. It can't come back to you because of what somebody else did. It can't come back to you because somebody else treated you wrong. It can't come back to you because you have envy in your heart for what they're accomplishing. And after all they've done, you're wrong. You see, people, we need to be free of ourselves. Because if we're free of ourselves, then we can fulfill the complete law of God. We're able to love our neighbor as ourselves. The reason a lot of you cannot love your neighbor is because you got a whole lot of yourself in you that you don't even like. No wonder our church isn't growing like it should. Carnal believers do not like to hear the word of God. Because it brings an indictment against their thinking. Now, in closing, I want to bring something to your attention. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. In chapter 4, we find this verse, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged, dividing asunder, spirit, soul, body." To be able to dissect the whole man. Then it says that everything was laid open and bare. Nothing has eluded the eyes of God that the Word hasn't made provision for. So we're accountable to the Word. In the Greek it says we're accountable to the Word, not accountable to Him. We're accountable to the Word. If we're accountable to the Word, we're accountable to Him. Because the same thing He's going to have come out of His mouth to destroy His enemy is the same thing we're to be held accountable to. I know the Synoptic Gospels is great. I know that it's a way of expressing how people believed in Jesus. But people, you cannot go up into heaven and bring Jesus down to get what you need. Your faith is to be spoken according to the revealed will of God, which is His Word. Now, in Hebrews 4:12 and 13 is subject to something that was previously declared. What was previously declared in the book of Hebrews in chapter 3 is that Jesus' kingdom is no longer of the household of Moses, but it's for the whole world. But then He said something that was very interesting. Why that nation failed so miserably with God is they didn't know how to hear God. They didn't know how to hear Him when He spoke. That was their legacy that they left. So He's telling us now, this New Testament, that we are to not fall prey to what they did. And everything that they fell prey to is because they weren't able to listen to the voice of God. They would only go by what they would see out here. And so when you look at chapter 3, first of all, He declares very well in this chapter, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice." If you will hear His voice. And so when you get into towards the end of chapter 3, the same statement comes up. "Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." You're not going to hear His voice out here, people. You're going to hear His voice in here. That's what I'm saying. Of the very next voice you're going to hear is what's going to go off on the inside of you. And that's a voice we don't pay attention to. And that's a voice we need to pay attention to. You. And I'm going to tell you, every one of you here, I'm going to indict you this morning. Every one of you, God has asked you to even do something today, and you have not done it. Something. I guarantee you, your past history, yesterday. God has told you to do something, and you haven't done it. Some of you have a continuation of what God had spoken at one time, has never let up, and you still never fulfilled it. "I knew I should have stayed home." "After all, I heard Keith Hersey's message. I can do anything I want, and I'm okay." And that's not what Keith Hersey preached. So when you get into chapter 4, who does He mention? The nation of Israel. What a testimony. All they could hear is their own fear. "We're in trouble." And He said, "So I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest." Why? Because they didn't know how to hear God's voice. They didn't pay attention to it when He spoke through Moses. They wanted a sign. God gave them all kinds of signs. Did it help them? Mm-mm. No. Actually, it made things worse for them. And then He talks about a rest. There's a rest for those in God. A promise of entering in His rest, lest fear would get a hold of us and we would fall short of it. What rest is He talking about? Well, there are basically six rests that the Bible speaks of. One is the keeping of the Sabbath. That is one of the things that the law was very strong about. New Testament believers, you don't have to be concerned about that because your heart will be willing to enjoy the Sabbath of God. Two, a relieving of stress or praying. 3, of natural sleep. 4, to give intermittent from labor to refresh. 5, the harmonious workings of all the faculties of the heart will console what consoles the imagination. This is the one that everyone desires, to have complete rest mentally and physically. Some people get rest mentally, but not physically. Some people get rest physically, but not mentally. This kind of rest means literally a harmonious rest, what we all look for. Amen? But notice, entering His rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Indeed. Well, in the chapter, when he goes on in chapter 4, he talks about how they were in conflict all the time as a nation, but they had a place of rest. What place of rest? In the completed work of Christ is where our rest is. But their rest was in the obedience of what Moses had to say, for they were under a covenant with Moses. So they were to enter that rest. And they said, every time they turned around, they were murmurers and complainers because they couldn't find any rest. Well, it's because when God spoke, they wouldn't hear His voice in the day that He spoke. And so as a result of that, they couldn't find any rest. So the sixth rest that I'm talking about means a participation in a completed work of another person. Wouldn't it be nice if another person could come in and say, have peace, my brother, because I will take your anxiety? Well, how many of you go, hey, have at it? You can also kick back today and sit down and just don't think about your labor. I'm going to labor for you. Any need that you have, I'll make sure that you get it. Man, you can just kick back and enter into that rest because I have done it for you. Matter of fact, what if He looks at you and says, my son, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So you can enter into that rest. Be of good cheer. Well, the first voice don't really get to us as much as the second voice. The voice we speak to ourselves. The voice we speak to ourselves. That is your downfall and mine. Is when we get this ticker tape going in us after what we heard out here, or even out here concerning the Word of God, really, what is being communicated on the inside of our heart? Is it peace? Is it life? Or is it fear of death? Or fear of not knowing what's ahead? Peace that passes all understanding. You know, the church is in a crippled place right now, because we don't know how to go after our wounded. We don't know how to go after those who have problems. Nothing's more frustrating. John and I, we sit and we're frustrated. The more light we get, the more we can help people, but it seems like they run from the help because they're listening to this inward voice that's crazy. Every one of you today could think about somebody you could go after and cause them to recover. Every one of you contact people, I'll never contact again. But you can. And it's simply how you love them and go after them and treat, by letting the voice of God on the inside of you help you with them. Because He does not speak to your heart death. And, well, Pastor, everything must come to a judgment. Good, let God be the judge and you be the one to carry the good news. Quit listening to that stupid voice that always wants to judge somebody. Quit listening to that voice that tells you another brother or sister has demons and they can't do nothing about it. I'm going to tell you something, people. The bottom line for the voice of God on the inside of you is love. Because your faith has to work by that love. The first line that is going to come at you is either your voice of reasoning or the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, the Word of God will dissect which ones come from the Spirit, which ones come from the flesh. How do I know that? Me? Do you think I'm the only one that carries on a conversation with myself? No, every one of you do it. Every one of you do it. I've been getting some good responses because we're going into detail how the soul, the mind works. We've been using the board. And a lot of people are starting to get it and they're going, wow, I've never saw that. Well, so I hadn't either. Till I learned it and then I teach it to you. Some of the stuff I teach you, I haven't been able to live myself. Uh-oh. I let some words come out of my mouth. You know how you can tell that you got the right voice coming at you? When the Word of God's spoken and you're carved up like turkey. You guys ready? Stand up, everybody. Praise God. Well, this is Christmas. Can't we have a break? I'm trying to give you a break from yourself. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And we got heads up today, Father. We've learned something. The first voice that we need to focus in on is not what we hear with our natural ear, but what goes off on the inside of it by what we see. Father, we don't want that voice to spell out to us darkness. For how great will that darkness grow? But Father, we want the voice of God to speak in our heart after we've heard with our natural ear. That is more important to us, Lord, than anything else. And so, Father, today I hope this message will give an insight of how powerful it is with the confession of our mouth. If it's out of the dictates of our heart, how powerful it can be. But if our heart has not been seized upon and we haven't brought it captive to evil thinking, then, Father, it's because we're not mature enough yet to capture what is in us, in our inner voice, our inner mind. Father, teach us all to master it and to hear it first and foremost above anything we hear from the natural realm in Jesus' name. That is so important to us. Hallelujah. Today, if you're here for the first time and you've never given your heart and life to the Lord, we want to administer by the laying on of hands a direction for you to come into the kingdom. I've had quite a few saved this year. We want to see more come into the kingdom. If you need to say the sinner's prayer and come into the kingdom, we welcome you today. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in that born-again spirit language, tongues, then we want to pray for you to be filled with the fullness of the Spirit. And if you need physical healing, we want to lay hands on you so that you can recover. So with that all said, everyone standing in a place of respect for those that need to come. Those of you that know that you fit that need, step out now and come forward. Anybody, feel free to do that. Salvation, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that you need, feel free to come forward. Anybody else? Anyone else? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't think the Spirit's finished here. I think He's speaking to someone. You're just in this turmoil, this fight. You feel free to come forward. It doesn't matter what people think. They don't know what you're here for. They don't know your heart. But if you're here and you need any of those, salvation, the infilling of the Spirit, physical healing, whatever it is, okay. We have a hospitality room in the back. That when I'm through praying here, if you're a first-time visitor or been visiting with us, made a decision to whatever, just feel free to meet me in that back corner room, in the back, our hospitality room. Amen. Okay, with that said and done, you're dismissed. God bless you guys.